next scripture reading is Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. Said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Let us pray. O God of blessing, thank you for how you have shown us through Jesus Christ that we belong to you. Help us now to belong to you with our listening here today to your word, that it will keep us on the right path for this day and each day you give us in the year ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. I was once leading a service of committal for a gentleman who had served in our nation's armed forces, and the service included military honors, the playing of taps, the silent folding of the flag, the presentation of the flag to the next of kin with these words, "On behalf of the President of the United States Air Force, and a grateful nation, please accept this flag as a symbol of our appreciation for your loved one's honorable and faithful service." But interestingly, that wasn't the last word. The presenter also said, "May God bless you and your family." It means a lot when the last word is a word of blessing, a word seeking God's favor upon you, a word asking God's protection over you, a word seeking God's guidance for you, a word wanting God's will to be accomplished in your life, a word invoking God's presence with you, a word of blessing. Now, we have words of blessing for each other that we often share, particularly when we're together here on Sunday. Sometimes there are words that we share in a personal, one-on-one kind of way, like, "God bless you, be blessed, have a blessed day." Those are some of the forms of blessing that we pronounce on one another when we're face-to-face, especially when we're on the verge of leaving the worship gathering and going back in to participate in God's mission, His kingdom in the larger world. So before we scatter into the world to proclaim the good news of Christ, to practice the good news of Christ, it helps to know, doesn't it, that we have God's blessing. God's blessing. I think this is part of the reason behind the benediction that I pronounce at the conclusion of our worship service. It often sort of takes the form of a prayer, a closing prayer, but it's actually more appropriate that it be a word of blessing spoken directly from me to you, the worshipers. Remember that the benediction we have in worship isn't simply a closing formality. It's not really a cue that, okay, time to close your hymnals, gather up your bulletin inserts, all other paper that you have with you, because we're getting ready to wrap things up. It's more than just an indication that soon all of the reverence will break up and we can go into the rest of the day. It's not really like the bell at school that signals school is out or done and now we'll go our separate ways. The benediction is a dismissal, yes, but it's a dismissal with blessing. It's a way for me to transmit the blessing of God to you, the people of God. And that's what's happening in our scripture passage that I read a few minutes ago from the book of Numbers. God tells Moses to tell Aaron and to tell Aaron's sons how to bless the Israelites. God even provides the specific words of blessing in this case. Say to the people, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, sometimes when we're especially trying to testify to God's presence and God's work in our lives, it can be hard to come up with the words, right? It's hard to come up with exactly the words we think we may need. God often doesn't provide us with a precise script. Instead, we struggle to figure out what to say to someone who's distraught, or maybe suffering, or sick, or lost, or worried, or grieving, or whatever other kinds of circumstances. And so we often rightly turn to God to ask God, what to say? Give me words, Spirit, give me words for this particular occasion. Like here today in the sermon, when I stand up here to preach the sermon, it's largely the culmination of a process of discerning and trying to listen to the essence of what God wants to say to us here in this particular gathering. But even once the essence of what God wants to communicate to us has been sharpened for me, there's still latitude for me to pick out the particular words that I want to use to share that word of God with you, to communicate that message. But in today's text, God does give a precise script. Use these words, he says. Say these words to my people. Tell them this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Those words have a long history in the life of God's people, Israel, the Jewish people. They have a long history in the life of the church too, especially as a way, like I said, of concluding services of worship. I've used those words at the end of worship services, as well as other kinds of occasions. I've spoken these words over infants and children who were dedicated by parents and family here in this sanctuary. I've spoken these words over the body of the deceased at the cemetery or in some other place of interment. So I've spoken these words over the newly born, those deceased. These are fitting words, really, for both the beginning and the end of life's journey, and especially fitting words for every step in between the beginning and the end. In fact, that's where they're situated in this morning's scripture passage. This text is part of a larger section in which God's people are making preparations to leave Mount Sinai, where they've been camped for almost a year. It's time for Israel to continue its journey now, on into the wilderness, eventually through the wilderness, on into the land of promise. So as they prepare to leave Sinai, God's people are given this blessing. In other words, it's a blessing for a journey. It's a blessing for those who are going as they go. It's a benediction about God's presence with them as they go. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, that word bless really captures a lot of what follows in the rest of this benediction. It covers the benediction in all its dimensions in this particular case. Blessing has to do with God making good on God's promises to his people, Israel. But that word bless goes even further and really invokes everything that God intends for human beings and human life and the world that God has made as well. Things like life, joy, health, wholeness, flourishing, a place to prosper, as well as just, peaceful relationships within a community of faithfulness and love. This all gathered up, those many different things, this is what it means for God to bless. But God not only blesses, we're told, God also keeps. This means that God guards, God guides, God protects. And that, you can understand, would be especially meaningful to a people who are journeying, to a people who are wandering as they go into the wilderness. They need his shelter and care. But I think it also extends into our life as God's people in Christ. Having the Lord keep you, having the Lord keep us, doesn't mean that nothing bad will ever happen to us. Doesn't mean that our lives will be free of hardship or suffering or pain or troubles or trials or loss. It simply means that we can count on God to eventually, ultimately deliver us from evil, to deliver us from evil and to accomplish his saving work in our lives somehow, some way, as we walk by faith. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Notice how the language of God's face comes into this benediction at this point. God's face, especially in the Old Testament, was a way of talking about God's presence, God being with his people. There's a man named Dallas Willard. He lost his mom when he was just a young boy. And he often told the story about another boy who had lost his mother and how this boy was especially sad and lonely at night. So he would go into his father's room and ask if he could just sleep there with him. But even then, after he had made it to that point, he couldn't rest until he knew that his father's face was turned toward him. Daddy, are you looking at me? Is your face turned toward me? Yes, I'm watching. I see you. My face is turned toward you. And when the little boy knew that, he could finally rest. He could rest. See, as God's people, we want God's face to shine upon us, giving us warmth, life, love. Though our sins are serious and his judgment upon us is real, though those things are very serious and important and real, we ultimately want God to look upon us with the glow of grace rather than the glare of anger at us. We want God's face to be turned toward us. We want to be assured of his presence. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We need God to look at us with the rightful condemnation of our sins and his judgment upon our disobedience, but most especially to have him look at us with a merciful, compassionate expression, recognizing our faults, yes, holding us accountable, yes, for our failings, yes, but ultimately treating us with love and favor and compassion and mercy. And as God does that, he's shown us how he does that, most of all in his reconciling love in Jesus Christ. As God does that, it leads toward the climax of this benediction, one of the most important words in the whole Hebrew vocabulary, shalom, peace. Now, that term has a wide range of connotations, like wholeness or longevity, safety, security, health, flourishing, right relationship, but it also means more than just the absence of division and conflict and violence. It also means the restoration of justice and what's right in God's eyes, and the restoration of harmony in his whole creation. It means shalom, peace, means the triumph of God's design and purpose for our lives, for the world. So what better way then to conclude this whole benediction than with that word, shalom, peace, this blessing. I think hearing the endearing words of this benediction, like we hear them here again today, can remind us that blessing is not a light or a casual business. It's a very serious business in lots of ways. If we're not careful, we can get into the habit of using the language of blessing in casual or other light ways, or get used to doing it strictly out of habit without thinking about in deeper ways what we're actually saying to people and doing in their lives through our blessing. When you bless somebody, you're not just saying to them, take care, have a nice day. You're not just saying, stay safe. You're not just saying, may the force be with you, or live long and prosper. Actually, interestingly enough, any of you who are Star Trek fans, Leonard Nimoy once noted that he came up with the Vulcan hand salute by recalling part of his Jewish background when the priestly group would give the blessing over the people at the end of the congregation's worship. The Lord bless you and keep you. And he eventually brought a hand gesture out of that to the show as the Vulcan salute. So for any of you who are Star Trek trivia fans or Bible trivia fans, when you go home today and somebody asks, well, what did you learn today at church? You can maybe take that one to them. Share that with them. But like I was saying, blessing is a vital part of who we are and what we're all about as the church. It's important for you to be able to gather here with one another to worship, to share the word of God with each other, to fellowship, and then to sing and pray and give, and to leave this place knowing that you've been blessed. Knowing that you've been blessed. That's because receiving the blessing of other people, when you do it gratefully and thoughtfully, can shape your own attitudes and actions. And this is the kind of thing that can happen even beyond the confines of the church. There's a pastor named Patrick Wilson who tells about a time that he was on his way to Kansas City to deliver an ordination sermon for a colleague, and his flight to Kansas City took him through Detroit for a stop. He arrived there around noon, was naturally, like the other passengers, hungry. So they got off the plane and they went to what turned out to be the only place to eat on that concourse, a Burger King, where the line already snaked around four or five times, though it seemed to be moving pretty well. As he got near the counter, he noticed there were three Asian gentlemen in front of him. You could tell they were struggling some with their English, and there were some 20-somethings being very patient with them behind the counter, trying to listen carefully or repeat their words to them or point to the pictures on the display to try to make sure they got their order right. In the meantime, the folks in line behind Wilson were getting impatient. Oh my God, said one of them, frustrated. To which the folks behind the counter responded, just a moment, we'll take care of your order too, sir, just like we're trying to do with these folks here. We'll make sure that we get your order, that we get you back on your plane, and that you have an opportunity before you leave here to eat and catch your flight and get on to your destination. Don't worry, they reassured the others. You can go, he says, Wilson notes, to a very expensive, elegant restaurant and not get hospitality like that. I hope the gentleman in front of me, as well as the gentleman behind me, got what they ordered. He felt pretty assured about that. I got my Whopper, fries, and Coke, he said. I went to the cashier, paid for my lunch, and as she was returning my change to me, she said, the Lord bless you and keep you on your flight. He was stunned, really. And sort of stammered back, and the Lord bless, keep you too. I went, he says, and sat down to eat, but I felt like I could have flown to Kansas City by myself. I don't know what church that woman belonged to, but it was a church that had empowered her to bless. I recommend the Burger King in the Detroit airport. I can't wait to go back there again. Wouldn't you want to eat, he says, at a place like that? Wouldn't you want to belong to a church like that? The church is a community where we get blessed and are commissioned to bless others. It's a place where we get blessed, where we get the power to bless others. In other words, we're called through Christ not only to receive a blessing, but to give blessing, to be a blessing beyond just our gatherings here on Sunday morning. But before we rush into the business of blessing, notice how our scripture passage closes. After we get this benediction, we get a closing with an affirmation that ultimately God is the one doing the blessing. So they will put my name on the Israelites, says God, and I will bless them. Those who bless will be putting God's name on the people, and putting the Lord's name on the people implies ownership. In other words, these are people who belong to God. People who belong to God, so that God is the ultimate source, really, of all blessings, which means for us here today that there is blessing to be done, and God is the one that will do it. What God intends for others and for the world isn't really something that we can accomplish in of ourselves or by ourselves. What God wants for others, what God wants for the world, isn't something that we can pull off on our own. What God wills for others and wills for the world is beyond our power and capacity, really, as human beings to accomplish. But through our words, through our work, through our witness, through our worship, God can and will bless. God can and will bless. So it's important here at the beginning of this new year, as we take the first few steps into this year that God has opened up for us, that with your lips and with your life, you say to others, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let's pray. God of blessing, thank you for your promises. Thank you for the assurance that you will keep your promises and accomplish your saving work in our lives and in the world through Jesus Christ. Help us to receive your blessing. Thank you for the power you give us to extend it to others. And show us each day how, with our lips and with our lives, we can bring your blessing to others, that they may know your mercy and love and faithfulness as well as they go into this year. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good that on the first Sunday of this new year,